Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
What up, Dirty? We're going to have some fun today.
You got old Biscuit in H-Town now, don't you?
Yeah.
You got your old bed, got your old Biscuit in H-Town to lay up
right,
in, don't
baby.
You, baby?
That's right, baby. Got my house together.
Come on.
You know, everything in. I'm here. I'm here now.
Yes, indeed. But good to have you back, baby.
Yeah, it's good to be here. And in Houston, I'm just coming right to you. I don't know if all of Houston knows how good their quarterback is. I don't know if you all know. Everybody, we've been talking about Mahomes, and it's the biggest story in sports right now. But do you know how good your quarterback is? And Clint, I'm watching TV this morning, and Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, he conducted this poll with GMs, scouts, coaches, players, all in the NFL. Like, these guys are in the league now that work in the
50
league.
50 of them.
50 of them. Or as you just said, 50 of them. And they said, top 10 quarterbacks. We ain't even got to get to 10. Top five. Where was Deshaun? This ain't the top five of, you know, the guys down the line you'd pick up. No, this top five right now. Pat one, obviously. Mahomes. Two. Russell Wilson, three, Aaron Rodgers, four, Deshaun damn Watson. I hope that Houston knows how good their quarterback is, that they would think people within the league, Clint, would say he's the fourth best quarterback in football.
This is so beautiful to me for several reasons, Show. Number one is because of where Jeremy Fowler went to get his opinion and to create his list, his rankings, so to speak, were, again, I want to remind you, scouts, coaches, players, GMs, executives in the NFL. These are guys that are in the game, get paid to evaluate talent, and they pick Deshaun Watson in the number four spot behind one of the best arm talents to ever play the game in Aaron Rodgers and in front of one of the best statistical quarterbacks to ever play the game, Drew Brees. Deshaun Watson was number four. Mm. So I know there's people out there right now rolling their eyes that they're not quite bought into Deshaun Watson and how good he is. But damn it, with what Jeremy Fowler did, there's no backing down to this. So one, I think the origin of the list and the rankings and where they came from, I think they it's valuable. It's not just me and you sat down over some cold Coors Lights and said,
this ain't us.
No, this ain't. And it's no single individual. I mean, you and I are pretty damn good, but it's no single individual. This was a collective group of distinguished gentlemen in the NFL with NFL experience that put it together. So first and foremost, that's it. Secondly, Show, as I look at that list, the top five, I look at a list that consists of Deshaun Watson and four guys that have won Super Bowls. I look at a list with Deshaun Watson and four guys that have either won MVPs or Drew Brees I'm not real sure how in the hell. When I looked, when you told me that, I was like, what? Drew Brees has not won an MVP, but he's thrown for over 5,000 yards, won a Super Bowl, thrown for over 5,000 yards multiple times. This is the kind of company that Deshaun Watson is keeping and he's in the middle of. And show there is zero debate that Deshaun Watson has more room for growth, more room to develop, to get better than anybody on that list, whether it's because of his age or because of the coaching staff and the offensive play caller and the lack of chemistry that's been there to this point in his career. Regardless of how you look at it, the room for growth for Deshaun Watson is through the roof. And the fact that this group of gentlemen have him on the list at number four is absolutely a statement here in Houston.
Clint Sterner and the show with you. And that's what it is, man. Houston, I sometimes wonder if you know how good your quarterback is. And sometimes it's understandable. Like, you know, we're harder on most, right?
Yeah.
I'm harder on my kids than other people are, right? I there's certain expectations. But you can be hard on them and have expectations and still understand where they're placed in value. And I see far too many people in this city who don't understand how good Deshaun Watson is. Clint, I don't normally like to make bold statements like this, but I'm going to make it. You're wrong if you don't view Deshaun Watson as a top-level quarterback.
Can I co-sign that?
You're just wrong.
Opinions,
nothing. You're just off, dog. You're just wrong. He is a top-level quarterback in this league. And I can say it, but these guys, their name's not put on it. Like, these are coaches, GMs. Like, these are guys
Scouts, players,
who watch and say, that dude is better than Lamar. Lamar ain't in that top five.
Yep.
You know, you're just wrong if you
look.
Don't
look, I'm co-signing with you. And I love the list. I respect the list. I love the way that Jeremy Fowler got to his rankings. But look, you were here already when we were talking about the throw that Deshaun Watson made against the New Orleans Saints to give the Texans the lead late in the game, which what should have won the game for him. That would have won. It was Monday night, opening week. I'm trying to think if Pat Mahomes made any singular play in the playoffs that would have won or the Super Bowl that would have won it.
I mean,
Deshaun Watson would have been in the ESPY category of throw or play of the year in the NFL had the Texans hung on to that game. That's how special that particular throw was. That was Aaron Rodgers-esque. That there is five or six guys in this league that are making that kind of throw. When you look at his athletic ability, his ability to move around, it's not Lamar Jackson, it's not Cam Newton, but you're going to be hard-pressed to find somebody outside of those two guys that are active in the league right now that are moving around more effectively. And maybe Kyler Murray moves around pretty good. He's pretty sexy when he gets to moving around. But what he can do as a total package is unquestionable. It's undeniable how valuable that is. And the fact that he's on this list is just beautiful. So all you got to do is watch the film. And see where this guy gives you an opportunity to win. And people around here fall in love with the extraordinary, the amazing, the kick in the eye, throw a touchdown. And that's all great. That's all great. But that's not something that you can hang your hat on. That's not something that you can duplicate time and time again over a season. That throw versus the Saints show. That you can duplicate that. That's in the pocket, slide slightly, and short stroke, compact stroke, rip that thing 30 yards on a dime to a receiver running down the middle of the field with underneath pretty tight underneath coverage. That you can take to the bank, you can hang your hat on, you can duplicate, and that's how you win games and stay healthy consistently in this league.
Clint, there was something that you said that I don't know, man. I don't know how I'm taking this, and I've been thinking through it. You said he has the most room to grow of the five,
no
right?
Question.
That top five was Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Rodgers, and Brees. And I think Wilson, Rodgers, and Brees, I can completely understand. The Mahomes thing, I mean, they're both the same age, around the same time. And I don't know if I'm completely convinced that he can has the more ability to grow than Mahomes, because Mahomes just doesn't give a rip right now about technique. Yeah. He's just out here just going. I'm just kind of getting an understand of why you believe that Deshaun has more room to grow than Mahomes.
I think physically it's a very good comparison that physically both of those guys have room to improve on how they play the game. Mahomes needs to dial it back a little bit just to stay healthy and stay in his lane and be great in moments instead of being great all the time. And it's worked good to this point. Obviously, he's had a ton of success, but it's going to bite him in the tail at some point in time. I think Deshaun Watson has the same tendency to want to put the Superman cape on and go make the extraordinary play. And I think they both pass up the throws in the ocean. They pass up layups to shoot threes just because they can shoot threes so well, right? Yeah. They pass up free throws to shoot some kind of freestyle shot, from behind the arc. It's one of those things where they've got to learn they both in their own right and in really different ways, they both can physically develop there's a significant opportunity for both of them to develop physically. I think where I differentiate the two is that, and I don't mean to keep beating the dead horse of the offensive play caller, but the chemistry that is in that organization in Kansas City with the front off the GM writing the checks to bring in the talent, the head coach and the offensive coordinator getting creative in the play calling and the play design and things of that nature. And obviously the play calling's great. It just feeds right into what Pat Mahomes did with Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech. It's very similar. It's that gunslinger, put him in gun, let him spin it around a park. It's a good fit where very rarely is Pat Mahomes uncomfortable. That's not the case for Deshaun Watson. So when I say Deshaun Watson has a lot more room than the others to grow, I'm talking about his physical growth and the growth from the polos on the sideline, the chemistry with the play caller, the next level creativity from the play caller that ends up helping the quarterback. That's why I say Deshaun Watson has so much more room to grow than the other four on that top five list.
Yeah. It makes sense. The other, just Mahomes is just it. It's scary to think of the next level of Mahomes.
No question.
But as you said, if he got technique down to go along with his just natural God-given ability, you would imagine there's another level.
Let me tell you what's going. What this league don't want to see. What you and I would love to see, but what this league does not want to see is for Pat Mahomes to be like. To take the Tom Brady approach about 75% of the time and then 25% be that let your hair down, let it loose, 11-step drop, throw it off your back foot, Pat Mahomes, to where he controls games more, right? I mean, right now, they're so damn good at being aggressive and just ripping your face off that it works most of the time, right? Yeah. But there's the room for growth is for Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson to a certain extent to figure out how to, hey, man, just take them easy layups and take them free throws and extend the lead when you can, control the game when you can, limit the times that you're naked in the pocket taking some kind of hit, you know, and then when the timing's necessary, you go be Superman. When the day comes, show to where Pat Mahomes becomes where he takes what the defense gives you. He takes calculated risk instead of just one after another. It's going to be so difficult to beat that guy, as if it's not already extremely difficult. It's going to be even more difficult to beat that guy.
From the text line 713, Clint, since the threes is what makes Watson and Mahomes special, when is the best time to take the three and the shot in the ocean?
Well, I think the game dictates that, yeah. Right? The game dictates that, you know, like a perfect example with Pat Mahomes is, you know, the 11-step drop off the back foot to Tyreek Hill. But what was it, Show? It was 3rd and 15.
It was 14 right. steps.
It was 14. Couple shuffles.
Couple more.
But that's a perfect example of when, hey, man, now,
Show,
this is where your ability to be super comfortable taking an 11-step drop and throwing off your back foot, that's when it needs to be used, right? Not in the first quarter of a playoff game when you're down 14-0. And I'm not saying he did that against Houston. I'm just saying – There's a level of risk that's associated with the Superman cape and wearing it all the time that a lot of times puts you your team in a bad spot. Look at Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it happened.
I mean, it was the Chargers game. He tries to lateral it at some point for some reason. I mean, there's just multiple times throughout the game where the Superman cape caused problems, and they'll adjust and accordingly and be better because of it.
That's right. All right, coming up, Clint, I honestly, I've come to the conclusion Mike D'Antoni has some kind of secret that the rest of us don't know about this Rockets team, because when I listen to him, he makes me think crazy things. We'll get into that coming up next.
Deshaun Watson is so freaking awesome.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint, I'm convinced, man. You hear your boy Mike. Have you heard Mike D'Antoni during the offseason? Like, ever since we started. First off, you could tell when Mike was talking, there ain't no chance in hell y'all ain't gonna allow me to come to coach in this restart. There's no way in hell I'll be there.
Yeah, Mike said, no, actually, I ain't heard anything, and I'm glad I haven't heard anything from the league. I plan on being there.
Yeah, yeah. Mike, it was happening with Mike. Yeah. I don't care. But I've listened to him speak and read him speak, and you, like, there is a range of confidence coming from Mike D'Antoni that, and by the way, folks, during the break, I did not call him Mike D'Antoni. I called him Mike the Teeny Alley.
Yeah, you called him Tantoni. You put a T in there.
I was reading Mike Tantoni, but Mike D'Antoni. Now, there's a – like, sometimes you get coach speak where coaches just kind of come through confident. I'm sure Scotty Brooks, who's coaching the Wizards, he'll say, man, I think we got a real shot, but nobody believes him. But Mike D'Antoni, in a weird way, Clint, sounds like he is really – like he knows something.
There is definitely a level of genuine and sincerity there that I appreciate in Coach D'Antoni. There's no doubt about it. Like, when I hear him speak, there's a little bit of swagger there. There's a little bit of I don't give a rip what y'all think about what I'm fixing to say. I'm going to answer you honestly. And I greatly appreciate the depth that he gives us when he's asked questions about specific players or about scheme or about – right now, it's about the bubble town and playing games during COVID-19. But I appreciate it, Show.
Like, it's one thing to hear from Kendrick Perkins, who's been high on him. Jay Williams been high on the Rockets. Brian Scalabrine, who joins us each and every Tuesday at 2:30 right here, our sportsradio.com insider, NBA insider. He's really high. But when you listen to Mike D'Antoni, it's just some giddiness to him.
I think they're definitely excited about playing. And, you know, we just put it to them, this is going to be a great experience. It's going to be different. No one else, and hopefully no one ever will have to experience this. So it brings up new challenges, not the same old, and we'll see who can react to it. You know, if you're competitive and you can do something no one else has ever done, then why not? And besides, you know, the great thing of trying to win a championship and all that. But then in this setting, I think it's going to be interesting and it'll be fun. The competition will be great.
Now, what's going on here? Like, Daryl coming out talking about, we got two of the best players in the world and we should win this thing. Every time I hear Mike D'Antoni, he sounds like he's got the answers to a test or something that he knows he's about to pass, like these ACTs. He's got all the answers or something. He's going in with full confidence. Like, I don't know. Like, they are ready to play, and it doesn't just feel, as I said earlier, like coach speak.
So the part that I love that just exudes confidence too, is when he says, hey, we think we got a good team. If we win, it's what we're shooting for. If we don't, that's great. You know, it's kind of one of those, like, we feel like we got a great team. If we win, we do. If we don't, if we don't win, then we're not very good. We're not great. I just love the nonchalant way in which he goes about his business. Now, when you couple it with looking at what this team looked like before the COVID-19 break, which, golly, is it going to end up being 5 months before they get started, or is it four?
Four or so.
But if you look at the team and the little bit of success they had in that small sample size, and then you look at what's gone on during the break, in large part, the few times that we've heard D'Antoni speak and his confidence levels through the roof with Brian Scalabrine, and as you said, Perk talking big. And then you look at Harden and what he's done with his body. They clearly have a I don't know if it's a secret weapon or not, but they definitely got a plan that's significantly different than what it was last time we saw him in NBA action.
Yeah, Clint Sterner on the show here till 6. You're right. Like, when you combine the fact that Daryl, the general manager, sounds so confident.
Yep.
Putting it, like, we should win it. We should.
Mm-hmm.
And no one else has said that. And then you got, every time we hear Mike, there's this little schoolgirl giddiness to it. And then you combine it to what you've seen. We talked about, you said this weeks ago, hey, Mike D'Antoni said we need to have more pace, we need to run more, and the person who definitely needs to buy in the most is Jim Harden, and Jim Harden has bought in. You can look at his body, you can look at Eric Gordon, you can look at his, he's lost weight. Look at these guys, the shape that they're in, and then it's led by your leader, Jim Harden.
Yeah.
I want to just call him Jim Harden. When he's led by your leaders, you said, if anybody's got to buy in, it's him. You combine hearing them speak that way and then seeing what we can see is commitment to it.
So don't forget we heard Austin Rivers now.
Don't forget Austin Rivers.
It wasn't we heard either. It was we saw. It was an article that was written, I believe, in The Athletic, where Austin Rivers said, we got to play faster. And he could have stopped right there. But he said, no, we got to play faster. And when I say play faster, I mean pass the ball up the floor, not dribble it, walk it up the floor dribbling. And he went further to say, I understand that when I say dribble it up the floor, I'm talking about Harden. So it's going to take a little bit of give and take with the superstars on the team, yada, yada, yada. My point is when Austin Rivers, a reserve player,
feels comfortable to call out Jim himself.
Come on. Jim, you're going to catch me. I ain't going to know who the hell you're talking about calling Jim. But there's no when a reserve player, no disrespect, but when a reserve player comes out and is confident talking that way, you know that it is an open talking point in team meetings and in offensive meetings with the Rockets as a whole, with Harden in the middle of it, in front of Harden. That conversation is being had. If it weren't, then Austin Rivers wouldn't even shape his mouth to talk about how Harden is going to have to adjust his play. So there's several strong signs out there that have occurred over the last 4 months that give you a reason to believe that, one, it's going to be a totally different Rockets team. Two, the plan for the team coming from D'Antoni and his staff is more than likely going to be significantly different. And three, all of those things combined, it means that there's a lot of unknown for the opponents in the rest of the NBA, and I don't know if it's going to amount to a hill of beans in terms of winning games, so I really don't. But I know this. I know that if you polled everybody coast to coast, that there would be a lot more people interested in watching the Rockets because they don't know what in the hell they're going to get from the jump than there would have been 6 months ago. Before they went small ball.
Clint, they're making me think silly. They're making me think.
Well, that ain't very hard to do.
Yeah, I know, but they're making me think things that I feel like I believe. Like, I listen to their confidence, and I'm serious. I'm like, what the hell do they know? Like, to me, it is hard for me to see them, and I've said this, defeating the Lakers or the Clippers in a 7-game series. But the confidence level they're talking as if, I mean, Mike is talking like he knows Kawhi's going to have coronavirus when we play him, and he's going to miss 4 games.
Like he knows
that's how I know. He's talking like he knows something.
Yeah, he knows
something.
And, some
and,
guys
and they're making
show.
Me think, well, hold on. I've re-looked at the matchups. I was like, Avery Bradley's out. Like, I've re-looked at these matchups, and it made me think, like, what the hell's going on here? What is it they're seeing? So, no, this is the excitement level that he's showing and the rest of the organization. I've not been here long, but I've not seen it like that, to where it just feels an air of real confidence. Man, if they had this type of confidence, I think they'd have beat the Warriors. Like, if they had this type of level of, maybe they'd have been in the finals.
I definitely think there's a newfound confidence that's come with. And I don't know if it's the relationship between Harden and Westbrook and the small ball.
No, that's a good point.
The small ball approach with how well that fits what D'Antoni's done in the past, you know, and not that the Rockets haven't always done a lot of what D'Antoni wants to do, but I think that everybody would agree that this small ball approach is similar, at least, to some of the things he's done in the past and had success with. This may be a little bit more extreme than the others. I think he had Amari in Phoenix, didn't he?
Yeah, he had Amari, and Steve Nash.
So I don't know if it's as much of the pick and roll, roll to the bucket, you know, throw the lob type of offense, but it's definitely the fast pace, getting up shots, and shooting the ball from the perimeter. So just the fit, the chemistry between the head coach and the scheme, and then the players actually on the floor. Man, it's been fun to watch, and if the chemistry on and off the floor between the head coach, the scheme, and the players can come together, this could be a hell of a run for the Rockets.
Yeah.
Big if, but if it does, it could be fun.
Clint Sterner in the show here with you. Another thing, D'Antoni ain't just been about the confidence level of this team. He been on these damn masks, I tell you that much.
Everybody will wear a mask. You know, the big thing is you wear a mask for the other people. You know, if they really want to keep me safe, then everybody wear a mask, right? Now, I do it for my players. I do it for my coaches. I do it for people that I care about. So I wear a mask. I don't understand the other reasoning behind not. Now, I don't think it'll interfere with my coaching. They can hear me. They know what I'm saying. If we'd have a problem, maybe we'll figure something out, but I don't think that's a problem. Referees won't be able to see my lips moving, so they won't know if I'm yelling at them or not. That's a plus. I don't see the downside of it right now. Now, maybe I'll change it once I get into the heat of the moment or whatever, but yeah, I think mask wearing it will be appropriate.
Hey, he's serious about that, ain't he?
He is, man. He's damn serious about that. And I heard Landry say that. I think he's going to have a smooth-ass mask on, too.
Oh, I bet the mask game is going to be sick, man. In the bubble. I bet it's going to be off the
charts.
Hope the rest of the world's out there listening, man. I mean, I know you wear your mask. Hell, every day you got a story about how it was. Hell, you're wearing a wool mask over there.
It's not wool.
Is that made out of wool, or what is that? I mean, that thing's got to be choking the hell out of you.
It's not, baby. This is a good
one. That's one that Courtney got you. Yeah. Courtney took care of you. Yeah, so you go see mama, she takes care of you.
Yeah, this is a good one.
She was embarrassed at what she's wearing before. But anyway, I know you're wearing the hell out of that mask. I mean, I got me about four of them in the console of the truck, too. So I'm wearing mine, baby.
No, yeah. He's serious about it. They're going to be serious. I hope the mask game's going to be clean. I hope somebody has a silk one on. Just a nice silk, sexy silk one.
So you hope some old 6'6" old Hooper's got a sexy silk mask on, huh?
I'm hoping assistant coach of the Rockets, John Lucas, who's 66, is over there letting everybody know where I stand.
66, sexy,
slick, sexy.
Sexy, silky, 66, John Lucas.
Yeah. All right, man, I can't believe that I'm going to do this, but I'm going to be the one to defend a guy who signed a contract for $500 million because apparently he messed up. What?
Don't be a knucklehead.
You know what? I'm sitting in the new crib yesterday, Clint.
Okay,
right,
okay.
I got the movers came in yesterday. That's why your boy was absent. I'm sitting there in the new house, and I got my headphones on as the guys are doing their thing, and I'm trying to unpack some stuff, and I'm listening to the show yesterday, and I'm listening to you guys. You guys did an excellent interview with Mike Florio. He didn't do any math, thank God. You know, Mike will get off and just start doing math like he did a couple of weeks ago on our show. But I'm listening to Florio. And he was like one person in a line of people somehow that felt like it was a critical nature of tone towards Patrick Mahomes and the contract. And this was something that Florio said that really stopped me. And then I had to write this down immediately. I said, because I got to talk about this tomorrow.
The reality is it's a one-way commitment. We've been down this road so many times over the past few years talking about how the contracts aren't guaranteed. The team can rip them up whenever they want. The player can't rip up the contract. The player's rights are limited as to what they can and can't do to try to get a new deal if they're not happy with the contract. And Mahomes is locked in at a new money rate of $45 million. They have control for 12 years. And at some point in the next 12 years, the salary cap is going to be at a point, the quarterback market's going to be at a point where Patrick Mahomes is getting woefully underpaid. And the question is, will they rip up the contract and take care of Mahomes if it gets to that point? Maybe they will, but there's nothing that requires them to do it. And it wasn't Mahomes going about a champagne. Not that he should be upset with the deal. I mean, that's the thing. He potentially is going to be one of the best players of all time. It doesn't have the kinds of bells and whistles that you look for. And agents for other quarterbacks are now looking at this and saying, we're going to have to deal with this when we try to get contracts for our clients.
Pat Mahomes is going to make almost $500 million in this contract. He's going to. Like, barring an injury, Pat Mahomes, what he has to do is stay on the roster till he's 36. Unless he wants to, you know, retire like Andrew Luck and or has some huge injury, they're not cutting him. They're not getting rid of him. That city would revolt just like anyone else would. He's done. All he has to do is to remain on the roster, and he's going to get $477 million. I'm sorry. I don't understand. Like, he signed the biggest contract of all time. And another thing that he said, Clint, nobody in the near future is jumping Patrick Mahomes. This is not going to be a deal where Matt Ryan, oh, it's his turn, he becomes the highest paid player at quarterback. Oh, it's Matt Stafford's turn. No, there's no other player that has the age and the resume of Patrick Mahomes that will jump over him in pay. Not Deshaun, not Dak, not Trevor Lawrence when he gets to the league. None of them. So I don't understand. This cat is going to get $477 million if he's on the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of different conversations being had, and we're lumping them all into one. I mean, if you look at the contract, there are some questionable aspects of it, or maybe some different, maybe is a good word, different aspects of the contract that I think would drive an agent, some agents, nuts, right? I think there's certain players that want their money now. They want everything up front. They want their freedom. And those are things that this contract for Pat Mahomes does not include. Now, if we're just looking at the greatest player of all time, and you look at it and you go, is he going to be a Kansas City Chief until 2031? And is he going to play at a high level? Odds are pretty damn high that's going to happen. So is he going to make the money? Sure, he's going to make the money. But, Show, when I hear, if we're talking about just the contract, when I hear there is $470 million guaranteed, that's smoke and mirrors. That's not completely accurate in terms of this particular contract. At least as far as I understand, base salaries in the NFL are not guaranteed monies. As far as I know, in the NFL, roster bonuses that are paid in March or June or July or whenever it is that roster bonuses are paid in that given year, that's not guaranteed money. Those are dollars that are only guaranteed if you're still on the team. And I understand that odds are that Pat Mahomes is going to be around in 2030, and he's going to get the $27 million in base salary and the $22.9 million in roster bonus. But damn it, it's smoke and mirrors. In my opinion, it's smoke and mirrors when you call that guaranteed, not you, but when anybody else calls that guaranteed money. When I hear guaranteed money, I'm like baseball. I'm getting that money as long as I don't go wreck a motorcycle, and riding a motorcycle is in my contract that voids it, right? It don't matter if I have a 10-2 ERA, I'm getting that 30 mil a year until that contract's up. That's not the case in this particular contract, Show.
Yeah,
I guess where I'm coming from, like, you're having a conversation about Pat Mahomes and his greatness and the fact that you know he's going to be around, and I don't disagree one freaking bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it's a guarantee because it's him. It's him and the entire situation. It's him, it's the city, it's the team he's playing for, and everything. He's going to be there for the next 12 years.
Yeah.
That, I'm telling you, that town, because yes, in 5 years, the Chiefs could tear it up, right, and say, you know what, in 5 years, man, he's about to cost us about $60 million on the cap. This is what his hit gets up to about 59 in about 5 years. Let them try to get rid of Patrick Mahomes at 29.
So I'm going to tell you.
That's not happening.
I'm gonna tell you. It's year 2027 is the year that he will be due $59 million. $59.4. No, good gosh. It's $59.95 million in 2027. And I don't think this is going to happen in no way, shape, or form. But you tell me that if Pat Mahomes doesn't make several significant runs in the playoffs between now and 2027, I know they love him right now in Kansas City, but if 2027 rolls around and there ain't another Super Bowl and there's not consistent runs in the playoffs, you don't think they're going to check up at $59.9 million in that year?
No.
If they have the opportunity, you're crazy as hell.
No.
So you're crazy as hell.
No.
You're crazy. You're drinking that sauce, Chief.
Clint, he would have to fall off in a way that is Mitch Trubisky-like for them to make that move happen. Because he means more to that town than just winning Super Bowls.
But, Joe, that value is going to go down significantly if my man don't keep winning Super Bowls. And I think he will keep getting better. I think he will win more Super Bowls. And so this is just a what if. But if that is the case and my man falls off like RG3, RG3's not Pat Mahomes, not saying that, but RG3 had a sudden collapse of a career with an injury and he's never been the same since, you think they're going to just sit there in 2027 and go, here's $60 million? I mean, again, we're having a what if conversation because I agree with you. I don't think it's going to happen. But when I hear guarantees, I hear $470 in my man's pocket, and it's a done deal. That's not what this contract is.
Clint, I'm just saying, Aaron Rodgers won his Super Bowl in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
If he has the career that Aaron Rodgers has, and Aaron hasn't been to the Super Bowl,
that's a good one.
Since.
And look here, if Green Bay was paying him $60 million this year, they'd have a problem with it.
But this would be 11 years from the last time that Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl, and they're not getting rid of him, and he's not an asshat at times like Aaron is. He's not a problem like Aaron is. He's not, and they didn't have Brett Favre before Pat like they've had him. No, like he's not. It's a guarantee to me because Pat's not, because of the situation he's in. He's not going to. I understand what you're saying. For other players, yeah, hell, if Deshaun signed this deal, we know the Texans aren't afraid of cutting loose players. DeAndre Hopkins, who we'll get to in a bit. DeAndre Hopkins, we've seen them do it. They're afraid to do it. This situation with this organization is different, and that player. He is already – George Brett used to be the greatest athlete, the number one person in that city. He's passed that man up in 4 years.
Yeah.
Easy. And so I just think it's different. Like, we had Joel Corey, one of the best capologist guys, former guy, worked in front office. He works for CBS Sports as well. He was on In the Loop today, and he was very, very passionate, and I very, very passionately disagree with him. This is Joel Corey earlier today on In the Loop.
You talk about Jared Goff, you talk about Carson Wentz, those guys ain't winning Super Bowls anytime soon, and Pat Mahomes will.
Yeah, he won a Super Bowl, which is why he should be in a much better position. Because they're not nearly as good, the cash flow should be much better. It shouldn't be backloaded. I completely disagree with you.
But see, that's the thing, though. Pat Mahomes is the type of guy that wants to win multiple Super Bowls, and he's got to get a guy like Chris Jones signed. He's got to get other guys on the roster. And if he just says, you know what, give me all of my money, that's fine for him, but is that fine for everybody involved? In his mind, he's like, all right, do I want to allow my team to have flexibility so that we can continue to go to Super Bowls every year, or do I want to just set the market and get paid like I'm supposed to get paid?
Yeah, and he also went on and he talked about, like, hey, the cash flow, the deal for Mahomes is terrible. It's awful for the money that he got backloaded, as he said there, and not up front. And my thing is, I look at it and I think he did what Brady did, except he made $500 million doing it. He has set himself up so his team can still go out and get folks to help him, and he's made his money.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on again. That's a former agent, by the way. That's talking,
yes.
Right? So he,
yeah.
I would imagine that a front-loaded contract of that's a max deal and doing it multiple times is probably a little more beneficial for an agent. I don't know how an agent gets paid over a 10-year deal, but I would imagine at some point if Pat Mahomes decides to fire his agent, he probably doesn't pay him on the back end of that contract. I don't know how it works, but I would imagine that there's some risk from the agent standpoint of signing this long-term deal. But what Pat Mahomes did that was absolutely beautiful, and I commend him for it. And this show to me is really an indication of what you're talking about how the trust level from top to bottom in that organization, the trust level between Veach, is it Veach, right?
Brett Veach, yep.
Brett Veach, the GM, Andy Reid, Bieniemy, and Pat Mahomes. Like, there's an obvious trust level, because if you look at this contract, he's going to make $10.8 million next year. He's going to make $22.8 million in 21. He's going to make $29 million in 2022. It's going to be 2023 before he makes more money than per year. Like, in the year, he's going to make $40 million. That'll be the first year under this contract where he actually brings in money and is paid dollars from the Kansas City Chiefs that'll actually be bar setting in the NFL, right? So this is one of those things where, and my point is, for the first 3 years of this contract where he makes a little over $10 million, a little over $22 million, a little over $29 million, there's a lot of room under the cap for the Kansas City Chiefs to retain all the players around the quarterback that are going to allow them to continue the success that they've already had for 2 years. So it's not going to be one of those deals when in 2022, when his new deal kicks in, or they pay him a bunch of it front loaded to where his new deal kicks in and they can't afford Frank Clark, or they can't afford Tyreek Hill, or they can't afford to pay another player. I commend him for it. And I think he's smart as hell, because you, as if your talent doesn't guarantee this backloaded contract once you get there, giving yourself the best chance to win the next 3 or 4 years is absolutely genius in terms of its protection.
He's protected
his
legacy, he made $500 million in the process.
Sure.
I don't get it, Mike. I don't get it, Joel. He's protected his legacy and made $500 million at the point. You can be a part of the show. Join in. Text in 713-572-4610. Call in. I got this from the text line, and I'm serious. My response to this, Clint from 713. He left a lot of cash on the table by doing 10 years. In 5 years, Joe Burrow of the Bengals will make more per year. Should have aimed for 3 4-year deals. Let me tell you something. If Joe Burrow makes more per year than Patrick Mahomes in 5 years, I'll quit my job. I'll quit. There's no way.
Just so you know, we'll keep mark that right there, T.
There's no way. It'll be back to the Clint Sterner show. I will quit my job. Listen, folks, Joe Burrow is not going to. They're not going to pull up here in 4 years and say, you can't tell me what the Bengals are going to put around him and do that. Joe Burrow is going to come to the table with, I should be making more than Pat.
That number, just if by the contract, I know by the math you do, it would be 50. But if by the contract, it's 39. He'd need to make $39 million a year in 5 years to top what Pat's going to make in that particular year.
It's not a chance in hell. But if you average out what Pat's going to get over the 12 years, it's $42 million per.
Yes.
Right? If you average it out.
Depending on how you get to the number, if you just look at the new money spread out over the 12 years, and it's what you say it was 42 over the 12. But if you look at how it's allocated to him and when he actually receives the money, 5 years from now he will receive $37.95 million. So my man's gonna need 38. He's gonna need 38 large. I believe that's the right number. He's gonna need 38 large, 39 large per year for Joe Burrow to pass up.
Let's calm down on Joe Burrow.
Who? I agree.
Joe's got to grab him an MVP or a Super Bowl in the next 2 years.
I don't see that. I like Joe Burrow, but I think Joe Burrow is far from a $40 million a year guy at this point. And I don't give a damn how much the market changes. I would be blown away if Joe Burrow's ever in the range of $40 million a year?
Hell no.
Let's get to Anthony in Pasadena real quick. Go ahead, Anthony.
Man, what's going on, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
We good, man. Go ahead.
Look, so usually I love you and I'm with you, but today I think you tripping a little bit when you say that Kansas City gonna keep Pat even if he, you know what I'm saying, even if he fall off a little bit. And I think you said, tell me if I'm wrong, 'cause I don't want no drive-bys again. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong, bro. But did you say that Pat has a little wiggle room to mess up?
Oh yeah, Pat. Pat. As long as he don't drop the hell off to Mitch Trubisky territory in that town, yes, he has some wiggle room to mess up.
Yeah. Okay. And I agree with that. But for how long though? They will not be paying that man that much money if you giving him a 8-year span to mess up. When he start messing up, like, I'll give him, just so to say, obviously this is hypothetical stuff. So I'm saying if he messes up the 2021 season all the way through the 2026 season, I'm talking about first round of playoffs getting out, do you think he will still be at Kansas City, or Kansas City will still be, you know, tight on him like that?
Yes, that sounds a lot like Aaron Rodgers' career. I appreciate you, Anthony.
Ant from Pasadena, they'll be restructuring that joint. They ain't gonna stroke my man a $59 million check if he messes the bed over the next 5 years. If he pulls an Aaron Rodgers, let's say he pulls an Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not even looking at what Aaron Rodgers did over from his time after the Super Bowl. You said it's been 11 years?
Been 11 years, 2010.
Yeah,
when they
11
won
years. Yeah.
If he pulls an Aaron Rodgers, and I don't know how many times they've been in the NFC Championship, you think they'd be okay? Just take Aaron Rodgers' track record. You think they'd be okay six years of that and paying $59 million?
I don't think the Chiefs would be thrilled, but their asses would pay him. He's not going nowhere. Like, the reason why Peyton Manning left Indy, by the way, was there 12 years because he broke his neck. He got an injury. Tom was there 20. Tom at 43 is when they let him go. 36 is when he'll be 12 years.
Tom got six of them joints.
Yeah, he got them. Peyton's
an offensive coordinator and a quarterback.
And this
Pat Mahomes wasn't even reading coverages last year.
Yeah, but he's won a Super Bowl for the first time in that town in 50 years, and he's won an MVP.
Dude's a freak. But I think Veach, I think Reed, I think Bieniemy, and I think Ron the Show Ugly. I think y'all be singing a whole different tune if my man Pat Mahomes don't make deep runs every year between now and 2027.
All right, yeah, he can lose them first round in the playoffs, and he'll be collecting that money. They ain't getting rid of him.
Kansas City's going to be mad as hell if he's stroking $59 million.
They're going to blame somebody else. Coming up, the big 3 of 3.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.